you, Heavenly Father, for this precious evening as we gather together, Lord. Coming together in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We praise you, Lord, as we come together in this manner to worship you and to fellowship, Lord. The most of our Father, we gather to listen to thy word. We ask for thy presence now in your blessing, Lord, in the hearing of thy word and in the ministration of it. In Jesus' most wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. I first of all like to greet you all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a privilege to be invited to this church to minister the word. And I think it was the least expected thing because it just came about because of David Rajan, who came across my website on the internet, and he corresponded to me, and I was telling him, you know, where did you fellowship? Oh, I fellowship to Sacramento. And where else? Oh, I was over in Oakland Church, and so we had a talk, and I said, I'm coming over here to see my children, and then I'll be going to East Coast. So, oh, if you come back, isn't that the kind of preacher? I said, well, if you're Pastor Monk, if you come, in a long time, we'll come. But I will preach the word of God. Yes, preach the word of God. Amen. We know that we are in the message, and there's so much differences and difference of the doctrines and things like that. You know, but I believe one thing, God is going to work it out. God is going to iron out the things that should be ironed out. All the wrinkles will have to go. Amen. And nobody is going to get the glory of God for himself. No. God, all that glory belongs to the Lord. Amen. Now that's my daughter sitting there. Her name is Zoe. You stand up. Don't just sit there and wave. And that's my son-in-law. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I would like to sing you a song. And do you have a guitar here? Oh, if you don't have a guitar, then I got to sing a cappella, I guess. Okay, I'm a bad singer, you know. I always tell this to every church I go to, and it's because my daughter said, Dad, please don't sing. Go. You sing terrible. Well, I know I don't have a good voice. I don't have the Caucasian accent, you know. Being a Chinese, when you sing English, you can style song, it doesn't fit because we are Chinese. So, most likely people think that we Chinese sing Ching Chong, Ching Chong Chang, sort of thing like that, so it doesn't fit, you know. But anyway, I love to sing. Yeah. And nobody's going to stop me from singing. Yeah. Come on. Well, this song, God gave me a few songs, and I'm not a songwriter, but there's time when the Lord put on my heart to write some song. And this was a particular song which I always find so amusing, was that I was in the shower, taking a shower one day, and I was just full of joy. And I was in the shower when the water was coming down, and I was looking at opening my mouth, and I started to sing and praise the Lord. And this word came out of my mouth. And I was out of the shower in 5 minutes. I took a paper and started writing it down. And it was a wonderful thing the Lord did, a wonderful song that he gave. So I would like to sing it, but my daughter refused to sing with me. You understand why? I started singing, and I believe that the organism of Kevin will be able to catch up with it. If you ask me what chord am I singing, I have no idea. Alright, but I was singing, and I just said, I understand. Okay, the pen is going to try. There was a time when my heart was so lonely. It was a time I was deep in sin. Then one day I heard a sweet voice calling, look up, you belong to me. I belong to you, Lord Jesus. Well, being that we are Chinese, we have various kind of faith in China and in Asia region. But I came to know the Lord Jesus when I was a young age, about 12 years old. And then I was in a Baptist church for a while. And I experienced what is to be born again. But there was some kind of a trial that came my way, and I backslid for 2 years, but I never denied the Lord. But the Lord used a pagan, a sinner, to bring me back to church. Oh my. Hallelujah. You imagine that. I was a backslider. And the Lord used a sinner to get me back to church. He said, "Oh, Richard, are you a Christian?" I said, "I am, but I've not been to church for a long time." And he said, "You know what? I would like to go to church to see what it is like." I said, "Well, if you want to go, I'll go with you." And well, I went to Pentecostal church. You know, I knew about Pentecost. I read about it. So we went to Pentecostal church. It was kind of almost the service with the singing was over. And the preacher was just coming out to the pulpit. So we went to the church. We were sitting right behind the last two people. And it was just something like this, with the aisle in the center, and there were some seats on the side here, and a seat on the side here. And I sat right there. And the preacher said, "This morning I'm going to preach on a sermon called The Chronicle Son." Oh my. Chronicle Son. Oh, you won't believe it. That message was prepared of God just for me. And the preacher was preaching. When he was preaching with his hand like that. "Prodigal son, come home! Prodigal son, come home! Prodigal son, come home!" I was sitting there, I was in a trance. I was in the world. I was not even in the world of my surrounding. I was just standing in front, and every time he pointed a finger, I see a big finger, a big hand. You won't believe it. I see a big hand pointed at my face. "Come home!" I sat there crying, and I came up to the poop in the ocean. I cried for 2 hours. Everybody's gone home. I cried for 2 hours, like, "Hey, amen." And then the Lord began to deal with my life. He told me about my ministry. And I didn't know nothing about what ministry. You know, I got to go to work first to earn money. Got to go to do a ministry, I have to go to Bible school. But you know, you are in the denomination, that's what you think. So I wrote it now anyway, and it was only a few years later that a message came my way. I knew about Brother Branham's ministry, and you know how the Lord used him. But I didn't know that he had a message. But when the message came just like that, you know one thing that challenged me? The book that came to me was The Seven Churches. And you know what? God used another man to bring the book to me. It was a Christian in that church. Supposed to come to the meeting when I was sharing with the people. He came in late when the service was over, and he took the book and said, "You know, I came late. The reason I came late was because I was distracted by some preaching in a community hall. And when the meeting was over, they gave away his books. And he showed me the book. And I saw the name, William Hunter Branham. And I told them, I saw these young people that I was ministering to. I said, "That's the man I've been telling you about. You know?" And he said, "Do you want it?" I said, "You took it and you don't want it?" He said, "No, you can have it." So I took the book. I brought it back home. And I sat down. It was about 10:30 in the night, almost 11. And I started reading. You know, I was a Trinitarian. I was a true blue Trinitarian. You know what a true blue Trinitarian is? One who prayed to the Father, one who prayed to the Son, one who prayed to the Holy Spirit. And that's the truth. That's the honest truth I'm telling you. When I pray to the Father, if I pray to Him 20 minutes, the Son gets 20 minutes also of my attention. And I also pray to the Holy Spirit for 20 minutes. That's our true blue Trinitarian. When I started reading the first chapter of the book of Brother Ben, and I was in the examines of God, I was waving the examines of God flag. I have an examines of God. "Do you speak in tongues? You don't speak in tongues? Uh-oh, you don't have the Holy Ghost." When I started reading the first chapter, I came to the page where Brother Ben made his statement. If I remember the statement correctly, he said, "Three persons of the same identical substance mixed regards for language is not language. It's all right, Rabbi, I think that's different. You know, I sat there in the keyboard, I was shocked. I closed the book and I put the book aside. I said, Lord, what have I been believing? And the Lord spoke to my heart, you are just like a woman at the well. He wants you to know not what. I said, all right, Lord, I'm not going to read this book no more. I said, you tell me the truth. I'm going to take my Bible and I'm going to look through all those, from pages to pages, all those places I was taught a Trinity. And you try to prove me that you are not. I want you to reveal it to me. I spent a month fasting on and off as I worked in the night. I was a nurse. I was a registered nurse. So I worked in the night. So when the patients are sleeping in the quiet night, I study. For 1 month, the Lord revealed to me and showed me from Genesis all the way to Revelation. The revelation of the oneness of God. Wow! And at the end of it, you know what he said to me? He said, you must be rebaptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And then he told me, there is no such thing as eternal hellfire. Three things he revealed to me in just that 1 month. Without reading Brother Brennan's book.
Amen.
You know, and then when I came out of it, and I let God go back to the book of the Sunday Church Ages, and start reading, oh my God. See, the prophet spoke the same. He received the same revelation. Amen. And I got so excited. You know, and then I have the denomination, and start to do the ministry as the Lord called. You know, over time they begin to realize how important this Holy Scripture really is. There is no other book in the world like this. There is no other book. I would like to talk about the sufficiency of Scripture. Or inspiration. Now let's look at the book of Mark the 4, verse 24. Mark chapter 4, verse 24. It says here, the first statement, that's all we need. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. Mark chapter 4, verse 24, the first part. Take heed what you hear. How many of you have read this verse before? Amen.
Yes.
Take heed what you hear. Well, it's very simple, what I hear. But there is another thing. Most of us probably missed or have not come across it. And that is in the book of Luke, chapter 8, verse 18. Book of Luke, chapter 8, verse 18. Also the same thing, just the first part. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. Now that is different, isn't it? Is that right? Mark says, take heed. What you hear. Luke recorded and said it another time where Jesus said it. Take it how you hear. You say, I know what I hear. Now you know what you hear, but you know how to hear. It's another thing altogether. Isn't it? And Jesus said, oh, did your disciple ask Jesus, you know, why did you speak to them in parables? Well, it's just that, you know, when I speak in parable, the people will say, oh, I understand. I heard it. I understand. But Jesus said, they don't.
Amen.
It is to confound them. In hearing, they hear not. You know, it's very simple. Soul went for the soul. Yeah, we all know what soul is. You know what soul is? Yeah, we all know what soul is. A soul went for the soul. He sowed seed. Some seed fell on the wayside because there was no earth. The bird came and the seed flew out. Or what, some seed fell on the thorn and thistles. And because, you know, when it grew out, it was choked and so forth. And some seed fell on the wayside, but not much earth. There's no root. It died out and so forth. Yeah, I understand that. But it's so difficult to understand a parable like that. Everybody knows it. Sure, you know it, but you know what Jesus meant. Isn't it? Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't have eternal life. Oops! This man is telling me to be accountable or be my part.
What you hear?
Yeah, I know what you hear. Yeah, I know what I hear. But how did you hear?
The same thing. Every time you look into the Old Testament,
what are all prophets? They come out here to the children of Israel and begin to prophesy, begin to speak.
And many times the prophets say certain things the people do not understand. Even Daniel do not understand. Jeremiah did not understand.
You know, Daniel seek the mind of God. God told Daniel, you just go your way. It's not for your time.
It's for the later time. Those things are still now.
Well, the prophets, you know, they speak in the speech.
And do you understand? Prophetic utterance. Oh. Rabbi was an Old Testament type prophet, the seer.
Spirit of the light.
He came and said so many things.
A lot of people thought he knew. They knew what they're hearing. You know, I was told one time, Brother Bam asked his church, after so many years of preaching, he said, do you know what I'm trying to tell you? He said, amen, Brother Bam. He said, you don't understand. Oh, they thought they did.
A lot of people were thinking that they did because, you know, Brother Bam was the pastor. No, Brother Bam! Take your eye off the man!
Amen.
And look unto Jesus!
Amen.
You know, John's disciple, they followed John the Baptist for a while. They heard all that John preached to them. But one day, God said, "Behold, the Lamb of God took away the sins of the world." Some of the disciples got up, "Goodbye, John. Goodbye." And they walked away from him and they attached themselves to Jesus Christ. Is that right?
Is that right?
Brother Bam did not die for you and me.
Amen.
Paul did not die for you and me.
Yes.
It's Christ that died for you and me.
Amen.
Huh?
That's
the truth. Every problem with all, every time that God brings about a revival, the problem is that the people are so excited and they fall a revival pulling a man.
I believe Brother Bam said, I'm just a man! Remember Paul, the same thing? He went up, was in Greece, and they tried to worship him.
Huh? So we're not God!
You know what happened when the Lord showed me my ministry before? I was actually going around the world, beginning in 81. The Lord always showed me dreams and visions about my ministry. I said, Lord, how can I do that thing? It's not easy. I had a dream one night. You know, I dreamt the voice of the Lord calling, or the angel calling.
The King is here! The Lord is here!
Oh, I heard that voice. I got up and I started running towards the voice. And it was up there in the heavenly wood direction.
As I started running, I found myself running on a plateau. You know what the plateau? A mountain top that's flat. But as I ran, I was looking towards the bright light. But you don't just look at the bright light and you run blindly because you are running a race. And on a plateau, you know, on a mountain top is never flat like this.
You have clouds, you have rocks, you have jagged stones.
Then it's right. As I ran, I was actually sidestepping those holes and rocks. But I keep looking up and start running towards it. I do not want the trip will fall. But as I run towards the voice, I look across, over to on my left, over the other side, there was a valley that was cut across. And there were only a few of the people on the mountaintop running towards the voice. But I looked down across into the valley. Oh, there were throngs of people. I saw men in coats holding that, you know, carrying the attaché case, going to work. I saw women going to market. I saw people are just buying and selling. Students, young people going to school. They just did not hear the voice. They just go on. And when I reached the bright light, I said, the Lord Jesus stood right there. And went up to him and I hugged him. And I said, Lord, can I overcome? It was a very personal question. And the Lord said, you shall overcome. As I stood back from him and I pushed back from him, stood back, that figure of the Lord Jesus has changed into a man wearing a coat, a man that is shorter. But I couldn't see his face clearly. But I knew who he was. It was Brother Branham. To receive the Lord Jesus Christ with the revelation, you will know his messenger. You know, and then as I stood back, there was this angelic voice that says, the number of the rapture is almost up. And I asked, what is the number? He says, 120. I says, how many more left? 11. When I heard that, I turned and I ran, seeking for my brother, my mother, to try to bring them to the field. I woke up from the dream. And I says, Lord, what is the number 120? What is the number 11 left? You know, the Lord did not tell me this number. I don't know what it was until several years later, much later, that while I was preaching in the Philippines, while I was talking about the number, the Lord spoke to me, and that's what he meant. You know, the 120 is a number very common in the Bible. 120 in the upper room. They're waiting for the Holy Spirit to come down. Is that right? They were tearing for the Lord. Is that right? They were tearing for the Spirit of the Lord to come. Is that right? And what does number 11 represent? You see, the 120 was a called number, so to speak. Jesus can have 12 disciples. 120, the word 12, is a number that the Jewish people always take it as governmental protection. And 11, like 12 tribes. And one tribe went away, lost, it's 11. 12 disciples, one betrayed Christ, it can be 11. 11 is a bad number, so to speak. It's a foreshort of the number that God was looking for. You understand that? And the devil not begin to tell me, that's what the number 11 meant. There is a foreshort of the people that will make up the rapture. There is going to be very little. The number of rapture, how many percent will make the rapture? 1% and 1%? Kind of small, isn't it? Huh? So 11 out of 120 is 70%. About 10%. Scary too, isn't it? But it doesn't mean that there are 11. It just means that there is going to be just that small amount. The people that claim to follow the truth, going to be perfect as a bride, they are not going to make it. Believe me. You have three kinds of people in the fellowship. Is that right, Brother Ramsey? Have that? The unbelievers, the fake believers, and the true believers. There is going to be just a little group of 11. Why 11? Do you remember the Lord showed me and says, you know what I said 11's left? You know, when Jesus was with the disciples for the last supper, there were 12 there, sitting at the table. They were just eating. Then the Lord Jesus went and took a towel and girded himself. Took a basin of water, right? And washed everyone's feet, including to the Israelites. After finishing that, they went to the table and sat down. And then Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me. And everybody said, oh, I said, who was it? And Jesus said, the one who dipped me in a soup. Jesus did it. Jesus said, what do you have to do? Do it quickly. Judas left the room. And then Jesus took the cup, took the bread, and gave to the rest of the disciples. There were only 11 there. Take it too. This is my body. He took the cup and blessed it. Take, drink it. This is my blood. In the New Testament. Only 11. If you want to make the rapture, you better drink his blood and eat his flesh. You have to. That's life. The word is life. I'm the bread that comes from heaven, which he said. Huh? So take heed what you hear and how you hear. I have traveled when the Lord showed me in the second dream.
That second dream that I have a couple of years later, I found myself walking in a ruin. I have bad experiences with so many preachers that came and messed up the word of God and that their opinion. That's fine. They have their opinion. But they destroy the word of God by their opinion. I was once in the Philippines. They have this ministers meeting. All the different groups gather together and discuss the word. They have been going on. They have it every month. Then after that, they have it every once, 2 months. And I told some of the preachers that stood with me in the word of God. I said, you know, this kind of a minister's meeting is not going to do any good. Everybody come and they give their 2 cents worth of opinion. So once I was there, they were discussing about the seven thunders. Oh, the seven thunders, the seven chief. Oh, the seven thunders, someone about you. Oh, the seven thunders, the seven messengers of the battle. Everybody give their opinion. So I stood up there and I told them, can you prove it from the Bible what you said? Every one of them quoted Brother Ben. But you quoted Brother Ben. You can say, this is what I heard. I heard it on tape. But Jesus said, take heed what you hear. The prophet can say something, but you can make him give a different interpretation. Brother Ben knew what he was saying. Do you know what he was saying? Jesus knew what he was saying, but you know what Jesus was saying? Drink my flesh, drink my blood. Somebody else stood before the high priest and said, yeah, he said to eat his flesh and eat his blood. Yes, we heard him say, destroy this temple in 3 days, I will raise it up. But Jesus wasn't talking about his flesh and blood. He wasn't talking about the temple. He was talking about something else.
Yes.
Everybody was giving their 2 cents worth of opinion. You know what I told them? I told those ministers, you come and give your opinion. You think God is interested in your opinion? You make sure that you have the revelation of this word, or else you don't preach it. Everybody can take the book of Brother Branham and say, oh, I'm a message believer. And you know how many camps are there in this message believing group? This message movement. How many camps are there? How many different denominational groups are there? It's terrible! You know, in that dream that I had, I found myself walking in a ruin. It was a beautiful place. The building was beautiful. But it was in ruin. The walls had collapsed. The floor was marble. Marble floor. The ancient Roman, you know, Colosseum. That sort of nice building. And there were columns, pillars of columns falling on the floor and it cracked up. And the floor was cracked. And then I was looking for something. In a dream, I was looking for something. Something of great price. Something that was of great value. But I couldn't find it. I don't know what I was looking for. And I sat right down in the center of the room on the big column. Trying to understand what I was looking for. I know I was looking for something that was very important. And the dream changed. And my name was caught up by the angels standing up there in the clouds to go and collect my price. You know what a podium is? You know the Olympic podium? You have the center where you have the first prize winner, and then the second on the right will be slightly lower, and the third will be right lower still. So when I was called to collect my prize, I went straight to the first place. Then the second man came, and I looked at the second man, and I looked at him, he looked at me with a mischievous face. And when I looked at him in that dream, I said, oh, this, I know you. You know what I knew him? Because he was a mental patient that I dealt with in real life. You know, he was a loony. You know what a loony is? And I know that his mind's confused, but they're mischievous. So I knew that he's up to no good. And I turned around and looked at the one on my left, the third one. He was just standing there, well, nonchalant, nothing special about him. So I have the one person to worry is the one on my right. And then when I stood there, and they came out, and then there was a throne of people, a great large throne of people. They looked up to that angelic being and asked, for what? They were asking the question, for what was he called to come to collect his first prize? And then the angel said, for the restoration of the foundation, the
moment he said that, I jumped onto the podium. And this man on my right, he was trying to push me off. He's trying to push me off. And I knocked him off. And I sat firm on that decision. When I got up, I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? You know how that difficult that is to do? The Lord said, you set those things in order. And I began to realize that the Lord began to tell me, what you're looking for is the foundation. And every place I go, the Lord sent me to minister the word of God, there was a lot of mess. There was no foundation in the church. You know the foundation, I'm not talking about Jesus Christ being the foundation, I'm talking about the apostolic foundation. The 12 apostles. Remember, the church was built upon the 12 apostles. Their doctrine, their teaching. And every 12 stones, the stones that they laid are the foundation, are their doctrines, their teachings. Is that right? You know what happened to the apostles when they died? You know, just, well, about a year, 100 years down the road, the Catholic Church came into the system and started to pick up the apostolic church, the stones, and replace the Trinity stones. Huh? Is that right? They started to begin to dig away some of Paul's stones, what Paul taught, and put the others. And when the Reformation started, God began to put back everything slowly. But what happened? The same thing in the denomination today. They go by their tradition, and some of the stones that they have are not the apostolic stone. So the prophet God says, you get back to the apostolic faith. Yeah. Brother Bram was only appointed. He was a messenger sent to bring us back. Just come back to the word. You know one thing about that? A lot of people don't understand. You know, the word was never lost. But I heard preachers say, the word was lost. But it was brought back by Brother Bram. No, the word was not lost. The word has never been lost. The people of God was lost in the word. The word has always been here. It has always been. Is that right? That's the reason why the prophet of God says, you come out and hurt my people. Back! Amen. And people came out. Now instead of coming back to the word of God, they come to Brother Branham. Oh, Brother Branham. Oh, Brother Branham. Brother Branham was just appointed. You come out, you get in. People said, oh, denomination is darkness, it's death. It's death to stay inside. Let me tell you this. It's death also to come out and stay out. Right. But get in! God works in three. Right? Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Justification, sanctification, all those devils. Is that right? Always work in three. The coming of the Lord, the parousia, in three. The shout. You know what the shout is? The message. The voice of the archangel. You know what that is? Many people do not know. What is the trump? Many people do not know what the trump is. If the shout is the message, what is the other two phases? God says, the coming of God is in three phases. What? Three phases. So you think, how we hear? But don't just come from another man. Come out, first phase. Come in, second phase. Come up, your face. If you don't, if you come up, you don't go in, you're not going to go up. You've got to follow God. Repent, number one. Be baptized, number two. In the name of Jesus Christ, right?
Yes.
And number three, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Oh, I just believe. I don't have to get baptized. I can speak in tongues. Yeah, the charismatic world around speaking tongues. Huh? Everything that God does, the devil uses it very easily. But there is one thing you can, he cannot impersonate. Huh? That's the truth. The speaking of the word. The speaking of the word is something that the devil cannot impersonate. The first two ministries the Brother Bram had, the first and second pool, the devil can impersonate. That's what they're doing out there.
When we come to the term for the revealing of the word, the speaking of the word, you cannot impersonate it. If a man is not anointed of God, he cannot speak this word. It takes a prophetic insight. It takes a gift from God to look into the Bible and teach it out and show it to the people what it is. Think about it. I hope when I said this last few minutes is not too hard for you to chew. Simple enough, isn't it? You know what? The church is still here. The bride is still here. So as long as we are here, the Bible is still full of mysteries and revelations that needs to be fed to you. The day will come when we don't need these things. You know that? So make sure that you make good use of the Bible. Sometimes I see, well, unless you have a new Bible, that's okay. I see people have been a Christian for 20 years and their Bible is just as pristine the first day they bought it. Oh, you're in bad shape, you know. You know what the problem is? Nothing. When your Bible is in a bad shape, you're in good shape. But you know what? I heard a man, he's a Pentecostal preacher. He said, you know how many Bibles I used for my ministry so far? 100 Bibles. I said, wow! I said, I could do that. I could even double that amount. And then I heard him preach. You know what? He gave me this Bible. He took the Bible, he slammed on the pulpit. Ha! Pull! Pop! He came out slamming on the pulpit. Well, you know you will come apart, isn't it?
Yes.
That is not smart. That is foolishness. Huh? But when you use the Bible, then you use it like a roadmap. You turn it and you turn it, you know. You write your notes on it with the Lord, so you hear right on it. Use it.
Amen.
It's alright to dirty your Bible with your notes. It's okay. Huh? Don't try to keep it like some Muslim, you know. Or the Quran, you know, you don't write nothing on it. You must keep it on the rag, and, you know. Oh, no, no. Not like what the Catholic priest would do. Jesus. You know, so, it's a religious thing. You know, brother, sister, don't be religious, please. I hate that religious spirit. I told my church many times, everywhere I go, I said, don't be religious. Brother, what's wrong with being religious? No, we're supposed to be religious. We're supposed to sing and worship and get emotion. Oh, yeah, that's okay. But don't be religious, be spiritual. Huh? Being religious is emotional, it's something that just move along with the flow of the current. The people do it, you do it. Now, for example, there are tourists in this is Singapore. I know a lot of white people, they are curious, perhaps want to enter into the Hindu temple to see what they do. How they conduct their religious activities. Is that right? Okay, they're very useful. And they have some sort of ceremony, and the Hindu priest, chant, whatever, and then they will have a dish of some, I don't know what, those colored dye, and they will put on somebody, and you know. So, these tourists, they will get put on the head, you know. You see, that's religious. The crowd do it, let's follow it. That kind of thing. Have you seen the Chinese when they worship in the temple? You know, have this incense? You have seen those incense things? Now, if you observe carefully, sometimes you go to the temple, you see them having three joysticks. Sometimes they will have five. Sometimes they have a whole bunch. You wonder what they represent. Is it? So you, now if I'm religious, if my parents are pagan, if I follow my mom, if she was, assuming that she was a pagan, and she says, son, take three joysticks, wipe it, and win three times. So I would do it, isn't it? Because I was told that's the way to do it. You go to the Catholic Church, the baby got sprinkled on, they told you that's the way to do it, you do it. And when you come with a communion, come in the row, open your mouth, and then put a piece.
piece of wafer on your lip, on your tongue. That's the way to do it. Everybody does. And nobody drinks the wine. So everybody doing the way it was. It's a religious thing. You understand?
Yeah.
It's a religious spirit. It's not spiritual. If you're spiritual, understand what the Word of God said. And then you do it. Brother Bam says, whatever, if I say anything, it's not in the scripture. Don't you believe it? It got to be the Word. It got to be the Word. Our life does not depend on Brother Bam. Our life depends on the Word of God.
Amen.
That's the absolute. The only absolute. I'll ask you a question. If I said, do you love Jesus? What would you say? Do you love Jesus? Amen. Okay. Amen. Yes. Okay. Good. And then, you know, that, at least I hear the word yes. But I heard somebody, he said, do you love Jesus? Amen. I said, what is the meaning of amen? So be it. Do you love Jesus? So be it. Are you born again? Amen. So be it. Are you born again? So be it. What is the answer? It's no answer. Because when you say, are you born again? When I ask, are you born again? So be it. What do you mean by so be it? So be it that you are born again, so be it, or you are not born again. You know the point? But you know, we come to a point that when you say amen, it means in the affirmative. Isn't it? It means, when you say amen, it means yes, all the time. Huh? So it's the way that the meaning has become an affirmative, not a so be it. Now, I may ask you another question here. This is something because I want you to know what you hear here. If I said, every word of the Bible is the Word of God, what would you say? You say, amen. Every word of God, every word of the Bible is the Word of God. Amen. You say, amen. What if I said, the Bible is the Word of God? You say, amen. Bible is all of God's Word. Amen. Bible contains God's Word. Amen. I say the same thing. If I say now, the first one, I say, every word of the Bible is the Word of God. You say, amen. The answer is no. Listen carefully. Every word of the Bible is the Word of God. The answer is no. Did you read the devil's word there? Have you read the devil's word there? The devil speaks in there, don't you? It is recorded there. It also contained the word of Judas Iscariot. Isn't it? It contains the word of the serpent. Isn't it? So every word of the Bible is not the word of God. But the Bible is the word of God. Yes. Isn't it? So the basic thing is that Paul said this. That's why Paul did not say, every word of the Bible is the word of God. Paul said this. 2 Timothy. So we need to that. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All scripture is given by inspiration. You know what the word inspiration is? This is the only place in the Bible that this word appears once in the way it is written. From the Greek word, theo, nipsum, means God's breath. So it should be translated, all scripture is in breath of God. All scripture is in breath of God. Got it? There's only words in the Bible that appear only once, and once only here. But there are other words that in the Bible you read, inspiration, it's not the same word. You can, okay, let me just explain.
What is inspiration then, in a normal sense of the word? I read it to you in the dictionary, how they define it. Inspiration is emotion, arousal, or reaction of the mind, feelings, etc. Stimulated by someone or something to a special activity or creativity. Example, I was inspired to read the Word of God daily after I heard the great sermon preached. You understand? So he was inspired to read the Bible daily because he heard the great sermon preached. You understand? That's how it was used. In the book of Job, chapter 32, verse 8, it says here, but there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty give him understanding. There is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of God, the emotion that arouses God stir him up. You understand? Right? They give him the understanding. So, the one inspiration in the book of Timothy is different. It's not inspiration. It should be inbred in that. And when you talk about the scripture, Paul said it. I didn't say that. You believe the Bible, Paul said it. He said, all scripture, you know what scripture is, don't you? Scripture is writing. All scripture, all of it is the Word of God. It's in Christ of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. It's the right. For instruction in righteousness. So the Bible is sufficient. The sufficiency of the Bible. You don't need any other book. This is the only book. And you know what about this Word of God here, about this written word? That every word that is in breath of God has its place in the original. You cannot move the word around. You cannot do that. They are positionally placed. Do you understand? Every word of God written here in the scripture, they are positionally placed where they should be. Brother Abraham came and he said this. There are three things you should never do. One, don't dislocate a word. Two, don't misplace a word. And three, don't misinterpret that. Right. Three things about the prophet said. Don't dislocate, don't misplace, and don't misinterpret. And you know what? He never came along and did just that in the garden. You know that when God created Adam? He told Adam, he said, what? He said, thou shalt not touch that tree of knowledge of good and evil. The day they eat it, if you touch it, they eat of it, you should surely die. God have said three words. Full stop. Period. God have said. Period. That's it. Somebody came around. Hello, Eve. How are you? Have God said. Dislocate, have. Move it another forward. Misplace it in front of God. Then, at the end of the word, took away the period, put a question mark on it. Three things! Dislocate, misplace, misinterpret.
How God said.
Three things! You know, when I read what the prophet said, God showed me. I think that's a good example right there. And ministers in the message has been guilty of it. That's right. Not just with the prophet's word. But when they did that to the prophet's word, they are doing it against the scripture. You mock my word about it. You know how serious that really is? And I told the Lord, you know, I had to see those things. God told me, you just go set the church in order. Just give them the word. And the rest is up to him. We know that many in hearing they were not here. I have been challenged by many preachers from the States, from Canada. the Philippines on the cross path. Was one man. He went to Singapore. One day, one of the believers from another church was not happy with the condition of that church, kept our fellowship, and fellowship with us for 2 years. He enjoyed everything, he believed everything that was taught, except for one thing. He does not agree with me on my teaching on marriage and divorce. And he didn't say it, but he believed in polygamy. Do you believe in polygamy? Oh, good. Thank you, then. That's good. Don't tell me, don't believe in polygamy anyway. You would have to listen a little bit more in depth. No, he believed in polygamy secretly, you know. So one day when that American preacher came, and he called me up on the phone, he said, "Brother Gavin, let's go to the hotel, meet this brother. He has the revelation of marriage and divorce." "Yes, you must tell me, he has, give you the answer." Okay. You know, his other kind is so true. A prophet is without honor in his own country. So, okay, I'll go with you. So he brought me, we went to the hotel. We went to the hotel room. And preacher and his wife were sitting on the bed, lying against the head piece. And so I was sitting down on an armchair. And the brother was sitting on my right on another armchair. So our elbow was side by side. And the preacher was relaxing on the bed, you know, and rather comfortably. And I said, "Okay, come and ask him, brother again." I said, "No, you ask him." Okay, so he said, "Brother, please help explain to Brother Gann why polygamy is true." "Oh, so you brought me here. I was thinking you brought me here to try to convince me that polygamy is true." And the brother, and that minister said, "Yes, Brother Gann, polygamy is true, Brother Bam taught that." "Oh, okay." And then he said, he asked me a question. He said, "Brother Gann, let me ask you a question. Do you believe that God never changed his mind about his word?" Well, he was actually quoting Brother Branham. Right, fine. He asked me, "Brigham, do you believe that God never changed his mind about his word?" I said, "Yes, I believe that God never changed his mind about his word. Therefore, hallelujah, Brigham, if God gave Abraham more than one wife, if God gave the King David more than one wife, and if God gave the Solomon more than one wife, therefore you can have more than one wife, because God never changed his mind about his word." And this brother was beside me. He was saying, "See, that's the truth." And I said, "Hold your horses." And I said, "Look, let me ask you a question. I believe, yes, that God never changed his mind about his word. But let me ask you a question now. When God created Adam and Eve, what did God ask them to eat? Was it not the herbs of the field and the fruits of the tree?" I said, "Now why did God change his mind and later on get people to eat meat?"
Right.
You give me the answer now, if you can. Shut him up. "Yes." His wife looked at him and answered, "So why did God change his mind? Why did God change his mind? He told Adam and Eve, you feel the herbs of the field you should eat. Is that right? The fruit trees, everything that is present to the eye, eat. But why did God change his mind and allow men to eat meat?" He had no answer. Then I said to him, I said, "You know, brother, God never changed his mind about his perfect word and his perfect will. That he will never change. His original word, his original will, he will never change. But because sin came, God permits for the time." That's why when Jesus came, he said, "In the beginning, it was not so. Then now put away his wife for every cause." And he just kept quiet. I said, "That's right, when Christ came, he did just that. He wants to bring us back to what's in the beginning.
Amen.
He was sent to redeem men back."
Amen. That's it.
That's what Paul, when he said,
you know, if someone wants to be an elder or deacon,
he must be a man of one wife. It means to say that it's not exclude polygamy.
Not to be a married man, but to exclude polygamy.
If a man has two wives,
no, he cannot be an elder. If he wants to be an elder, he must have only one wife.
If he's single, he can be an elder. But never a polygamist.
Paul's statement was to exclude polygamists.
Because if you are a man with three, four wives, you have three children, boy. You have to take care of the family. How can you take care of the family of God? Isn't it right?
You know, when we walked out the hotel room, this brother was walking down the hall to the elevator. He said, "Brother Jack, you are right." I turned and looked at him. I was as somber a face as any time when he come to the word of God. I said, "No, brother, I'm a liar." I said, "Brother, man's a liar. The world's a liar. Every man's a liar, but God's the truth." Do you know that?
When men make the mistake in interpreting God's word, it's a lie. Any time you say something contrary to the word of God, it's a lie.
I told him, "I'm a liar. I make mistakes. I can misinterpret the word of God. Sure I can." So could brother Brad, could Paul, could anybody.
I can show you where Paul makes mistakes.
At one time he said, "Oh, heaven's coming. Don't get married. You know, kind of young man. You're single like me. For the time is short."
Later on he says, "Oh, the Lord will not come unless there's a first falling away."
How long has it been now since the falling away when Paul talked about? More than 1,000 years.
Peter made a mistake too.
And Paul rebuked again.
All men will fail one time or another.
Sure. But God's word will not fail.
God's word will never fail. That's why the Bible is given to us. Under inspiration, the impress of God. You cannot dislocate the word in every way.
Never you could do that. And that's why the prophet of God, he knew what he was reading. He had the gift. You know what? Without Malachi 4, there will not be Ephesians. Without Ephesians 4, there will never be a Revelation 4. You need to know your place, when you are going, where you are coming from, and where you are going.
Malachi 4 was to send us back to the Word.
Right? Away from our tradition, away from our fathers, you know, the understanding of the gospel, which are all built up into a tradition. The Pharisees were like this.
So were the Sadducees. So were the Herodians, the Essenes, and all the other groups that were minor in the days of Jesus.
They were not mentioned in the Bible, many of them, but they exist.
But the two big groups are the Pharisees and the Sadducees.
Huh? Isn't that right? You heard of the scribe, you heard of the Herodians,
but the Pharisees and Sadducees are the ones that give the Lord Jesus a lot of problems. They thought they knew the Bible. Oh, they were so religious.
Whenever they go, you know, they take this, you know, the Pharisees, they have this big school. They walk down, "Oh, here comes the rabbi.
Good morning, rabbi."
Move away, they step backwards, you know, because the government is supposed to be holy. So everyone that walked, everybody knew who they were. These are wise men, religious people.
Leaders, religious leaders. They like to be called rabbi, rabbi, rabbi. You know what?
You know, just like a Catholic priest goes to the mall or whatever, he wears a white robe with a big cross. Everybody knows that he's a rabbi.
Huh? And every Catholic, when you see him, they say, "Oh, Father, morning, Father, morning, Father." So they want to be acknowledged. But Jesus God, when he was among the crowd of people, he was so common. Nobody knew who he was.
Amen. Huh? Isn't it? One time, in the beginning of the ministry, the disciple asked Jesus. He says, "Rabbi, where God looked down. Where do you dwell? Jesus said, come and see. And you may read the Bible that Jesus took them to. But this is not what the Bible meant. This, when this was raised up a question, where dwellest thou, Rabbi? Do you think that Jesus Christ took the disciples and said, you know, this is all Joseph. You know, the man there, this is my father, and the Mary, that's my mother, and this is the bed that I sleep in. You know that chair over there? That's the furniture that I'm making it for somebody. No, he's not talking about this. Where dwellest thou, Rabbi? The disciples want to know where he actually dwells. And the answer came to them after his death. They found out that Jesus Christ dwelt in the Word of God. Yes. Jesus Christ dwelt in the Word of God. In that day you shall know I'm the Father, and Father, He dwelt in the Word of God. That's where Jesus lived. Brother David Roger, where do you live? Sacramento? Aja? Where do you live? Sacramento Hill? Or Oakland? Where do you dwell? You want to live in this area here? This space of land is going to go down the sea, no?
Yes.
This world is not our home. Are we just passing through?
Amen.
Where do you dwell? Into the world. That's why we dwell. You are sitting in how many places? That's what Paul said. You are sitting in how many places right now? Huh? Isn't it? And that's what the place we should live in. It's the Word of God. It's His life to us. If you are born of God, you live the Word of God. So we know that the Bible, or the written scripture, or the sacred scripture, is adequate. Enough. Is that sufficient? It's enough. I believe in the sufficiency of the scripture. Paul said, all scripture is given by inspiration. For doctrine! For doctrine! In this Bible, they preach all of you, if you could. That's what I challenge to all ministers. If you're a preacher, anointed of God, keep this Bible and preach out of this. You know, many men told me, many preachers said, Erica, you're not preaching Brother Abraham's message. I said, no, I don't preach Brother Abraham's message. I preach God's message. Paul did not preach Peter's message. Peter did not preach Paul's message. They preach what God did. Huh? People say, oh, Paul had everything. No, he didn't have everything. Because he didn't have what John had on the eyes of Patmos. Is that right? You know what Brother Abraham said one time when I was telling people, you know, I said, Lord, you know, I have the answer there with the code. Do I have to answer everybody with the code of Brother Abraham? You know what the Lord showed me? Sometimes He just showed me the thing that Brother Abraham said. You know, Brother Abraham said, in one place, the Lord just showed it to me. Brother Abraham said this. He said, what a prophet do not need to know, God give it to somebody else. What John did not need to know, God gave it to him. What Peter did not need to know, He gave it to Paul. That's why He sent the ministry for that purpose. Now, some people say, but again, have you been to China? No, I said, no. So why don't you go to China? I'm saying, what if God don't call me there? What am I supposed to do? Just go to China and make a fool of myself? He said, I don't have to worry. You know, the ministry is God's. The whole thing about redemption is God's business. You think that you're helping God? No, we're not helping God. Some people say, oh, I want to do a work for God. No. You know what? God is doing a work in us. Paul said, we are God's workmanship. The disciples asked Jesus, what must I do the work of God? Jesus said, you believe on Him whom God sent. You know, they said, oh, Jesus was referring to Himself. Jesus said, believe on Him whom God sent. This is the work of God. You believe on Him whom God sent. If God said John the Baptist, you believe on Him. If God said Paul, believe on Him.
another picture of the who God sent, this one you know that he's a man of God. You believe on him because God sent him. Because this is the work of God in your life. God is God. God is doing a work in your life. We are not doing the work for God. This is God doing a work in us. To bring us to perfection, to bring us to the place of what we should be in Christ Jesus. But today you have a lot of preachers out there in this charismatic movement. But all that work is, oh, I'm doing the work, great work for God, I'm doing this for God. You want to take the glory away from Christ. In the first place, what they did was not of the true thing. It was not the true move of God. Actually, it was an illustration. So when God sent a prophet, he was back to the word, so simple to them. Come out, Rob and Scott. Now we're in the fivefold ministry, is that right? Fivefold ministry. Ephesians 4. And the bride will be perfected by Ephesians 4. Brother Ben believed in it. Paul said it. Right? When he accepted our Lord, he gave gifts unto men. Ephesians 4, 11 to 16. You know that one, don't you? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. Now for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we come to knowledge, full knowledge of God. And so on and so forth. We hang forth and not cause to toss to and fro. And the only way that you can be grounded in the Word of God and be not tossed to and fro in which word is to stay on this word. And that's what the ministry is, to ground you into maturity in this Word of God. Once you have reached perfection, once you have reached complete maturity, one of these days, you don't need the Bible no more. That's when you find the final trial. That's when there will be the spoken word that will come and kept in front of us. Those who have no eye will have eye, those who have no lip will have ear. Right? As the prophet said, we will have a quick and short revival, only for the bride. Is that right? You will be healed from the world. You will have this revival. Yes, all those great revival under Brother Branham, all the Robert T. Osborne. Huh? They were for sinners. To know that Christ is the healer. To know that Jesus saved. Is that right? But the bride never has a revival yet. Our revival right now is in the Word of God. But there will come a time when our body will have a revival, when we will have healing completely. You believe what God did in the past to Abraham? You know, Abraham was called and given promise of child. 90 years old. How old was he? Okay, 75, I'm sorry. And Sarah was 65. Well, Sarah was, you know, at that time they could live until 120 plus years. So Sarah was just quite a middle aged lady, still full of life, still young and pretty looking, isn't it? But time comes one year after another, until when she was, 77, I believe, that she began to go downhill. By the age of 90, that when she conceived. But by the time, like 89 years old, she already was wrinkled lady, dry skin, right? She probably walked kind of slow a little bit. And Abraham was kind of slow a little bit, so he was 99. But God gave her 24 years. Sarah's womb all dried up. How could she ever conceive? And that's when God speaks the word. God sent a messenger. Three men they came. And they speak the word. And you know what? The body begins to change. The body begins to change. You know, you cannot have an old lady get pregnant. She becomes so weak to carry the child, even during as she ever gets pregnant. Is that right? So that's why Sarah must be young.
So much so Abimelech wanted to marry her.
Yeah.
Oh my. Huh? You know what? I preached once in the seven countries. In the Philippines. Pastor came to me and said, Brother Gary, I want to tell you this. A sister in my church prayed one time. He said, while we were having a meeting in the fellowship, two men came in through the door. Two men in white. Strangers were. She said that the two men stood there and everybody turned around and looked who they were. And the two men spoke the word. And they left the church. Immediately, the sister said, something was happening to her hand. And she was touching her face. Something was happening. Some of the congregation were looking at their hand. They were changing. You know, when I was teaching that, God gave me a confirmation. By what coincidence I have no idea. I took a book for myself, a spoken word book. And that book, reading that book, Abraham said this. God will not take his church in the rapture until they have a physical healing, a physical health. Well, the body must be well, complete whole, then you can come. That's not what we need in the Bible. You understand that? We need this word. We need the anointing of the Holy Spirit to take this word and speak it. If this Bible is sufficient for us, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, so that you may be mature and totally built up, then don't violate this word. As many denominations have done, as the Quaker had done. In all those earlier 17th century, Quaker that was started by George Fox and others who came later, that believed that they need to be guided by an inner spirit. An inner light that is in them, outside the Bible. They are not there. What he's saying is that not just the Bible alone, but the inner light, they call it. Something that moves you, what is that you? Oh, they are saying what actually are saying is actually they are bringing more revelation to the Word. You cannot bring more revelation to the Word. The Word is already full of revelation itself. It will unfold itself. You cannot add to it. If your revelation is true, it got to be here. It's in the right. And then we have the charismatic. Oh, you must speak in tongues. You don't speak in tongues. You don't have the Holy Ghost. Oh, you must prophesy and so on. Can you can impersonate fake prophecy. I believe in some, I heard some charismatic preacher that preaches that if you have a headache, if you have a headache, you have a demon. If you have a back pain, you have a demon in you. Wow. That's scary, isn't it? Every time you have a pain, you have a demon. If you sit a little too long, or maybe you slept too much, too long on one side in the morning, you get up, you got a stingless in the neck, you have a demon. They are associated with every disease, every affliction with a demon. Huh? Oh, that means Timothy must have a demon, because he has a problem with his stomach. Is it? Pause it, bring a little wine for the stomach sick. So they are coming up with all these errors, things that come in the scriptures. So let us keep the word. If the word is sufficient, then let your doctrine, let the correction, your reproof be from this word of God. For this is the only absolute. Whatever you preach, make sure. Whatever you believe, make sure that you find it in the scripture. If it's not there, it is not there. And you cannot believe something that is not there. Huh? And there are many things that even the prophet never taught. It will be brought to light in this hour. A lot of people don't believe. I have many people say, Brother, I brought all mysteries. He says, no. He said, I said, okay, if you say that probably bring all mysteries, ask you. Tell me what was the mark that God put on Cain. Remember that? God put a mark on Cain? I said, you said, Brother Brandon,
There was a man from Canada who challenged me. I said, okay, then tell me this. I gave him a few questions. But I said, you just answer me. What was the mark that God put on Cain? Rob had never thought of it. He said it was revealed to him. Where was it? If it was revealed to him, then tell me what it was. And what was the sin of him? Huh? What was the holy city in Jerusalem? Tell me what it was. What it is. And where is the Garden of Eden? The original Garden of Eden, where was it? And if you can really understand where the original Garden of Eden, then you will have a revelation as to the holy city in Jerusalem. So you know what it is? I said, God has a ministry. So the fivefold. The apostolic ministry. Because it started with the apostles. You're going to bring back the apostles and bring back all the things that set it in order. And so Brother Abraham lived it to the Lord. He said, I believe in the fivefold ministry. That's a humble ministry. Is that right? And people just bypassed it. It sounds so simple that people don't recognize it. The man just keeps his mouth shut. He cannot see. But he believed it anyway, the brother. He didn't understand. But I believe the Bible has the answer. Mysteries are still unfolding itself. Still unfolding. Until the day when all this is made known to us as it's needed to be, whatever you live in, whatever you are, as you begin to study the Word of God, as the Lord begins to unfold Himself to you, then when the day is come, God considered the body of the bride perfect, ready to go. Then he will consummate it and fit the bride with him. Amen. The Lord bless you. Bless you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your grace, Lord. We know the hour is late, the time is late. And we thank you, Father, for your goodness towards us. Amen. I commit, Lord, that all that has been spoken, Father, to your hand, that you bring it out further, Father, to each and every one of us here, Father, Lord, and that you, in your own good time, Father, make us to understand in the revelation of thy word. And I bless the holy name, Lord. Come in all this fellowship, all these believers here, Father, into thy hand. Bless the pastor here, too, Lord. May you anoint him, Father, make him to understand thy word of truth. Bless the sister, Lord. Bless the elders and all that are involved, Lord, in this fellowship here, Lord. May the hearts open up to receive the word. May the hearts, O Lord, be willing, being humble, Lord, and sincere to be led by the Spirit of living God too. Keep us all, Father, in thy word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.